This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark in for Cynthia Canty. And now, please don't shoot the messenger, but we have got some new data on student test scores in Michigan.
Michigan students are performing very poorly on national exams, really no matter how you cut the data. If you look at straight proficiency rates, Michigan is 41st out of 50 states. It turns out that Michigan is the only state in the country where proficiency rates have actually declined over time. It is 50 out of 50.
That is Brian Jacob. He is a professor of education, economics, and education policy at the University of Michigan. He's also a non-resident senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. And Brian, what exactly is the NAEP measuring?
These are exams given to fourth and eighth grade students in reading and math. And they really do try to measure kind of broadly what we think of as kind of the basic skills in kind of elementary and middle school reading and mathematics. There's kind of reading comprehension, vocabulary. There's some work on kind of direct calculations, but also on problem solving and critical analysis in math. I think they are quite similar in kind of overall content as the MSTEP exam that we have in Michigan, but you know they're certainly not identical.
Okay. Now you note in the study that Michigan makes the bottom 10 list on all four measures and ranks dead last in terms of proficiency growth since 2003. What is going on specifically in Michigan here?
Well, that I guess that's the million-dollar question. First of all, there's kind of a funding issue. Michigan doesn't have kind of the lowest per pupil funding in the country, but it, you know, the funding is only at modest levels and has not increased substantially over the past decade compared to some of the other highest performing states where they really have devoted substantially more resources to education. But I certainly don't think it is resources alone. I mean, that is, money might be one factor, but I think it is not the entire story. There may be something about the, you know, somewhat decentralized nature of kind of education in the state that has something to do with it. Historically, Michigan has been kind of a more local control-oriented state where districts and localities have a great deal of discretion. And I think for some really high-functioning districts, that's great. I think others that have struggled, it's not so good.
But I want to dig into this idea, because one of the things that this study looked at, as you mentioned, is kind of this giving control back to states rather than the federal government sort of setting standards. So this is an issue then that you're saying could be part of this.
Right. I mean, I think the motivation behind the report was, you know, over the last few years, even before the new administration came in, the federal government has been moving to relinquish some of its, you know, control over education policy. In 2015, Congress passed the Every Student Succeeds Act with strong bipartisan support. And what this did is really get rid of kind of an older No Child Left Behind system of kind of more strict federal school accountability and gave the states a lot of discretion and flexibility to kind of work on their lowest performing schools in whatever way they saw best. And now the Trump administration, I think, is clearly focused on giving more power back to states and localities. And so what I wanted to do is kind of look across the states and see how performance was across all 50 states, how different states were doing over time.
So, Brian, when we look at this data, it is hard for me not to bring up right now, just because of the news, because of the country's new education secretary, Betsy DeVos, to bring up charters and the role that they could or are playing in test results. Help me understand where charters come into all of this.
That's a great question. So I think charters can have a very positive role to play in the education system nationwide and in Michigan. I think there's a number of charter schools in the state that, you know, the data suggests are doing very, very well. I think the key to making kind of charters work overall for the whole state is that there needs to be, you know, some more regulation and oversight than perhaps what we have now. I would never suggest that we should, you know, burden charters too much, but Michigan is kind of notorious for having the loosest and most open system. We've all heard the reports about, you know, the situation in Detroit where there are, you know, so many charter schools that there's lots of empty seats in the charters and in the publics, and parents don't have great information, and schools that are charter schools that are not doing particularly well are allowed to continue year after year. Again, a little, you know, regulation is not a bad thing, and that could be used to make the charter sector really work well for the state.
Talk to me a little bit about the NAEP. This is, again, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, because there's been some pushback against this report from folks in the state who say, look, we don't use those tests that we here are aligned with the MSTEP. So can you explain a little bit about how this measurement is actually working?
I mean, to be honest, I think that that's not a very good argument, or certainly not an excuse. I mean, there are the MSTEP and the NAEP are both kind of standardized assessments that have some multiple choice but some open response. The MSTEP has, you know, a slightly different focus that is tailored to Michigan's curriculum, but the correlation between NAEP scores and MSTEP scores is extraordinarily high, and they're both kind of tapping the same fundamental academic performance measures. One point that is worth taking away is, you know, as districts across the state do try to reform, I think it would make much more sense for them to kind of use the MSTEP as a good benchmark and target, as well as any other diagnostic assessments the district gives, because the NAEP is only once every 2 years. It gives kind of a statewide perspective, but it doesn't have separate results for each district and certainly not for each school. So I think, you know, state educators and policymakers should be focusing on the MSTEP as their benchmark, their scale. But I'm confident if there's, you know, substantial progress on the MSTEP, there will be substantial progress on the NAEP.
Now, so there are not necessarily reasons or specific reasons that you're going to come out and say, here is why, you know, Michigan is not doing well or Michigan students' results are below average. But let's look at the states that are doing well. Are there specifics in those states that we could look at and go, well, Michigan isn't doing those, so maybe that's what we need to borrow from?
Right. Massachusetts, you know, stands out in many, many ways as a not only a very kind of high-performing state, but one that has experienced considerable growth over the past decade. I think they have done a really good job in having a kind of careful accountability system that has as much support and development for schools as it does kind of punitive measures. You know, Massachusetts has been quite successful, based on some recent evaluations, in reforming low-performing, even quite high-poverty schools and districts. There was Lawrence, Massachusetts, you know, was a poor urban district that was, you know, in really bad shape a decade ago, and the state kind of helped lead a turnaround effort there that was quite successful. I think that could be a good model for some places in Michigan.
Brian Jacob is a professor of education, economics, and education policy at the University of Michigan. He is also a non-resident senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. We have been talking about his new report on some new data on student test scores nationwide and specifically here in Michigan. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you.